I don't know, it's probably been 2 or 3 years ago now. I was coming out of a season of prayer and fasting, and the Lord gave this very interesting word to me. And he said, I want you to begin a season of repaying people who have invested in you spiritually. And this was particularly, I'd been in a season of prayer for my wife, and so I sat down with Jen and I said, I'd like to hear the top 5 people who invested in your life so that I can fast and pray for them. And it wasn't like a give them any money or do anything, but to try to repay spiritually a debt. That's probably the best way to describe it. The Lord showed me that I owed a debt to people who were investing in my wife before I knew her. Does that make sense? They didn't know they were doing that for me. They were pouring into her. There was a lady who discipled her, and there was a musical mentor of hers who poured into her. And I just, you know, I was just in this season where I realized I owe so much to this group of people who cared for and were guardians over this woman who was going to be the mother of my children and my life partner, and they were caring for her before I ever saw her. Right at the top of that list is a lady I'm going to introduce you to this morning. Jen came here as a part of a church plant many years ago, and when she left that ministry, she landed at Bridge Church. And because she's a great musician, she wound up under the care of Pastor Chap Chappell, who was the worship leader there at the time. And she became very close to Chap and his wife, Chris. And it was really just a God-ordained relationship. It was a season when she really needed them, and then they went through a season when they really needed her. And they just really served one another in a way that was really, really beautiful. And then just a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago now, God called Chap away from that, and he and Chris now pastor Heritage Church in Chesapeake, which is just doing a tremendous job. Things are blowing up out there, and it's very, very exciting. And if we weren't here, we'd probably be there. We just love them, and we love what they're doing. They're dear friends. But beyond that, Chris has been a woman. She's a nurse, and she's specialized in end-of-life care for many, many, many years. And she has such a heart, more than anyone I've ever encountered, has such a heart for seniors. And in this series we're doing, Generations, we're taking a Sunday. Every week we're doing a different generation and asking ourselves not how to form a ministry that reaches out to, you know, so like last week, the last time we met, we did children's ministry. So it wasn't like how to build a children's ministry. It's how, as a culture, to love kids and create an environment where they feel loved and cared for as a generation, where we create space for them, where it's not just, you know, here the adults will meet and then the kids will do their thing, but where this is part of who we are, just expanding our understanding of what God has called us to. This week, we want to talk about seniors. Next week, we'll be talking about youth. In 2 weeks, we'll be talking about singles, college age, and we're just asking the Holy Spirit to expand our understanding of what he's called us to, and Chris has graciously agreed to come and help us see things more clearly in that regard. Now, my question for you, Tapestry, are you ready for the word of the Lord? And if he speaks, will you be obedient? Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Chris Chappell.
Thank you. I have to say, I have never felt more at home, away from home, than I do today. It's incredible. The Lord is truly here. Your pastors and your leadership team are people who are near and dear to my heart, people who have come over like Misha and Evan. We sent them with total love. Because if you are under the leadership of Gary and Jen Spell, you're truly blessed. They're humble leaders. They're talented and gifted, and usually talented and gifted, it's hard to find humility in that sometimes, but they undergird their ministry with humility, and it goes a long, long way. I don't usually share people's emails, but I feel impressed to do this. When Pastor Gary and I were first corresponding about us coming, and I share this with you because I recently lost my father. He lost his mother. And it has been the most devastating time of my life. I had no idea, even in taking care of people. I've been taking care of the elderly for 37 years. And I started when I was 16 or 17. And, well, I'll tell you all about that later, but the beginning of the email, and I'm sorry to do this, but I'm going to share with you guys to make sure that you are praying for him and that you are supporting him and that you don't forget that he, although he is awesome and he shows up on time every time, he is grieving. He said, hey, Chris, thanks for being in touch and thanks for your expression of sympathy. I thought I was prepared to lose mom, but I was wrong. It's been very, very tough. So I share that with you just to remind you to have his back, to have their backs. And I need a Kleenex so bad. I have some right beside this girl here, I'm telling you. Let me tell you. This is so spot on. Jen, when she was Chap's assistant, she was my husband's right arm. I kid you not, she didn't, some women carry a purse, she carried a toolbox. No lie. I kid you not, there's not been a single thing that he ever needed. Like, I don't even know the names of tools, but like, let's just say it's a crowbar even. She probably had it. And it became the big joke because if you, anything that you needed was in Jen's toolbox. I love Jennifer. When it's true that when we became friends, I was in a really dark season. I'm just going to be real today. I've been in ministry pretty much my whole life. We were raised in the church. My mom was our youth pastor, as well as one of the worship leaders, and we just absolutely grew up in the church. And Chap and I got married. We met on the mission field and got married. We met in Romania, only to learn we lived about 30 minutes from each other in the States. So it was really cool. And I had just rededicated my life to the Lord. And we now have three beautiful sons. My son Keller is here. I made him take off his hat at first, and when I saw other people had him on, I let him put it on. So we have three boys, 25, 18, and 13. So yeah. But I was in a very dark, dark place. Believe it or not, I had not been to church in a couple years, and my husband was on staff. I was in a terrible depression. Our marriage, we had gone through like a financial devastation. But I was just in a bad place. But the church was doing awesome. And what Chap really, really needed and that he lacked for so many years was just that person to take him to the next level. So along comes Jen in her toolbox and does just that, just what he always needed. And here's what I admired about her, and she may not even remember this. I had just taken a sabbatical from the church and was totally focusing on the kids. Chandler was a teenager and had kind of started going in the wrong direction. And Jen, I don't know if she still is, but at that time she was an introvert. And she reached out to me and said, hi, pretty much I work with your husband pretty close, and I thought it would be appropriate if I met you, and we became friends, and that's exactly what happened. And it literally was like, boom. She became one of the dearest friends I've ever had very quickly. So that's kind of the history of us and where we are. You could not have asked a person, not to toot my own horn, but who is more passionate and really hardcore about the elder generation than myself. It started when my mom was a youth pastor, and she used to take us, not only, my mom was a killer youth pastor. When I look back, she was way ahead of her time. She took us to like the detention centers, the prisons, and she also took us to the nursing homes, which for some was absolutely devastating. They're in therapy as we speak. But for me, one of them's my brother. But for me, so I'll just tell you the story. We went to sing at a nursing home, and they brought all the folks in their wheelchairs, and they put them all just about as close as I am to you guys in the first row. And we were just singing our hearts out, and this one little lady in the front, and this is where I learned more about anatomy than I ever wanted to know at that age, but she's right in the front, and during our song, she was going the whole time. And I was like, I didn't understand it, but yet I thought it was kind of funny. And, you know, like, wow, you know, she's letting us have it. Well, the other kids were crying, and I was like, give her a break. So after we finished singing, I heard someone yelling from a room, I've got to go to the bathroom, and all this, lots of colorful language. And I just immediately, I was probably 7 or 8, I immediately listened to, you know, I like followed the sound all the way around the building to this little back room where this little lady was lying in the bed, a complete mess, you know, not attended to, nobody was there to take her to the restroom. And I began trying to clean her up and help her. And I remember that day, my mom, they were all packing up ready to go and they couldn't find me, and they found me in the room. And I got in a little bit of trouble, but I remember my mom saying, can you believe this? This is just really natural for her. You know, all the rest of them are kind of scared. And so it's always been like that. Always, always. So I worked at a nursing home in the Outer Banks, and I was introducing the charge nurse to my brother because I love matchmaking. If you're a single, when they talk about singles in a couple weeks, let me come. I have the anointing of matchmaking. So does Heather Acemus. So I was fixing my sister-in-law up with my brother, and we were at the nursing home, and I had this little lady with me, and Robin, my sister-in-law, was standing there, and this little lady, she loved men. And when Scotty, that's my brother, came and opened the door and brought us lunch, the little lady lunged at him, and she was like, hi! And when she lunged at him, he went, ah! And he jumped back, and he broke out in hives. And I'm throwing him so under the bus right now, he still does that. He's a man's man. He's like a little bit taller than me, humongous muscles, fisherman, hunter, all that stuff. But you get him, you want to find out who he really is, get him in a nursing home, and he breaks out in hives. So, I guess, you know, Joy says that kids are her jam, and the Bible says, you know, once a man, twice a child. So theoretically, the elder community, I call them old people, and Chap's like, that is so offensive. I'm like, the Bible says it. You know, I'm sorry if that sounds rude, but we own an assisted living, and we have for a really long time, about 15 years. I'll say I'm going to check on the old people. He's like, and I'm like, they know they're old. My parents are in that generation. It doesn't seem offensive to me, but I do try to shine it up and say elders now. But I think once a man, twice a child, as much as God loves children, since we become children twice, most of us, there's double the love. From the biblical standpoint, Pastor Gary asked me to talk about the biblical premise as well as the practical. There's tons of stuff in the Bible about the elderly, and you've probably heard them all, and I'm not going to give you every scripture. I actually can afterward because I have them written down. And I'm sorry, there's not a slideshow. That's not even what they call it now, is it? Slideshow. You can tell I'm old school. Okay. Overhead. Yeah, the yeah. Okay, what the Word of God has to say about elders. Job 12:12. Wisdom belongs to the aged and understanding to the old. I've taken care of countless elders. I could not begin to count the number of people that I have ushered into eternity. The first gentleman that I ushered into eternity is when I was 17 years old, and his name was Joe. And he was a boxer, and he actually gave me my first black eye. But Job talks about that wisdom belongs to the aged and understanding to the old. 1 Kings 12:6 tells us that Solomon, and Solomon is known as the wisest man in the Bible, or that has ever lived, sought the expertise of elder men when it came time to make really big decisions about the kingdom of Israel. I never knew that. So if you want to reference, that's 1 Kings 12:6. Job 32:7. Those who are older should speak, for the wisdom comes with age. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is obtained by following a righteous path. So I told Chap I might kind of give Gary a nudge and try to joke on him a little, but that's really quite the compliment, because it comes from following a righteous path. That's Proverbs 16:31. The glory of the young is their strength, but the gray hair is the expertise and splendor of the old. I'm really kind of learning a lot about that, because I'm at that age. I'll be 53 very soon. I need a knee replacement. This is thanks to the elder people I've always taken care of, because I need a hip. I actually just had a hip surgery because I fell and broke my hip. I know y'all are like, how old are you, 80? And I also need a knee replacement. But I can kind of already relate to that. You know, the young man is strong and just vigorous. But we really, in the church, have, and I hate to say this, but we've kind of done a disservice to our elderly. And I'm going to go there because I get to go home after this. And Tapestry is beginning in the right way by listening to what people have to say, by honoring you guys. I can tell he has a really huge heart for the elderly as well. But I came along in ministry at a time when there were Sunday school teachers who had taught for 40 and 50 years, an organist who played for 30, 40, and 50 years. And when the young pastor came in, guess what happened? He either came in with his team, or he developed a team that did not include the elder people. And I can tell you right now, God was not pleased with those decisions. And I was quite vocal about it. I know y'all find that hard to believe. But to think that the church did that, and unapologetically, at least the ones that I was around. And so when Chap decided that the Lord, it was time, he had always been called to preach, and we always knew that we would do it later in life because he's a musician, and he did that for a long time. And I said, one thing we will not do, if I'm going to be a part of it, is just usher away people who have dedicated their lives. They are the foundation of the church. They are the pillars of the church. You guys, and there's some here that are elders, and I think that's a big compliment. You've been through more than some of these young people, and you could, there is so much wisdom to be obtained just by listening. I like to think, my mom always says, you've got your daddy's wisdom. I like to think that I have a little bit of wisdom, but if I do, I owe it to years and years of sitting and listening to people. I have taken care of some fascinating people. I took care of this one gentleman in Virginia Beach. He's passed now, but he was one of the three local Holocaust survivors. And I saw that mark on his arm and listened to some of his stories. Man, you can learn from people who have walked through something. They can save you a lot of trouble, young people. A lot of trouble. Because the Bible says they are the ones gifted with wisdom. And look at all the older people are going, it is so cute right now. It is so cute. I'm not going to point, but so many of y'all are going, but it's true. All right, let me not get off track. We're still in the biblical portion. 1 Timothy 5:1. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father, and treat the younger men as brothers. That's in Timothy. That was his instruction to the church. Don't disrespect elders. And I have to say, it is not America bashing day and the American church bashing day for me, but the truth is the truth. The way America in general treats the elderly compared to some other countries is really appalling. We've made a big mess whereby, especially the sandwich generation, which would be like me, I have little kids. I mean, I have children and my first grandbaby on the way. Y'all are supposed to go, yay! Okay. But I also have an aging mother who is almost 80. And so that puts you in a predicament. We've created a world where really we can't take care of our parents at home, really, because we have to work. There's this thing that we all need called bread and water and food to sustain our children. So we've kind of made a mess because it would be very hard for people to, in our generation, to stay home and take care of mom and dad. It's really just not even hardly possible. And I'm sure some of you have experienced that. And thus, the reason I have a business taking care of the elderly. So how do we take the biblical part of all that we've talked about so far in the Bible and make it practical? One thing that I think is a great idea, just practically speaking, is combining the older people with the young. Now, when Chap and I started the church, I made it very clear every meeting, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, older people, you come sit. I mean, I don't know if you were ever at the leadership meetings, Heather, but I was very clear on that. And we still have a great representation of elders in our church. So I was really excited about this idea of some of the older people helping in the nursery, right? So I could just envision it, that they would go in and hold the babies and tell them stories. Babies love the older people. Older people love rocking babies. But just be careful who you ask. Take one of the tests about where your gifts lie. Because I asked one of our oldest ladies, Sister Elizabeth Tolson, and I heard that she really wanted to be utilized. And that she taught Sunday school for 45 years. I was like, bingo. I didn't pray about it a bit. I just went up to Sister Tolson, and she loved me to death. And every Sunday, I'd head for her wheelchair in the back, and I'd squat down and hug her neck, and we'd talk about life. I said, Sister Tolson, I have the best idea. I said, we had no idea that our nursery was going to blow up like the first Sunday. The first 2 weeks, we were like literally grabbing people. We didn't do as good a job like you're doing as far as preparation. We had no idea that we were going to have so many babies the first couple of weeks. We were grabbing people. So at the end of that service, I thought, this is the time to ask Sister Tolson. I said, Sister Tolson, I heard that you taught Sunday school for 45 years. And she's like, yes, I did. And I said, I have this idea that I believe God gave me. If you and some of the older ladies could sit in the nursery and just hold the babies and rock them, it would be awesome. It would be a way for you to share your gift, yet it would comfort the babies. And she said, absolutely not. She said, I taught for 45 years. I'm not trying to have a nervous breakdown the last few years of my life. I was like, okay. So one practical idea for ministry, Pastor Gary, would be pray before you, these ideas you get, pray about who the person is, because that's still a pretty good idea. Just don't ask anybody who's burned out from teaching Sunday school for 45 years. Other do's and don'ts. Basically, in the church, I think that we are to treat the elders not just like anyone else, definitely like everyone else, but like the Bible really says, as someone with wisdom, and we are to honor them, ask their opinion. And a lot of times, elder people sit back a lot and they know exactly what needs to happen or what's going wrong, but they just need to be asked. Sit down with them. A lot of times, in many situations, because sometimes as you get older, your mental faculties can be perfect, spot on, but your physical body, sometimes you can't speak as loudly, sometimes you're weak in your body. But there have been many times, at least a dozen that I can think of throughout my career, where people weren't listening and they talked over them and they deemed them mentally incompetent when they were not at all. The problem is we don't listen. We don't sit down and listen. Take your time and listen to what they're saying. Maybe they can't talk as quickly as our attention span would like. Maybe they don't have the volume that they need. But I promise you, if you will sit and you will listen, you will gain wisdom. Take the time to listen. There are treasures of stories that people have walked through, even in this house, that could truly benefit you. The rights, the wrongs, just ask them. Like with my mother, her personality, you don't even have to ask. All you have to do is just be there. My father died, like I said, recently. It's actually been about a year ago. And I asked the Holy Spirit after I said everything about biblically where we are to place the elders and then practical ideas. And it's really just treat them like anyone else. Just listen a little more intently. Have patience. Value them as a person. Figure out a way to incorporate them in the ministry, because that's what this church looks a lot like heaven, by the way. A lot like heaven. The old, the young, the mixed congregation. It's awesome. So you guys are definitely on the right track. But use them for ministry. My mom, since my dad died, she's 80 years old, and can she sing like she used to? No. Should she sing being totally deaf without her hearing aids? No. But guess what? She does. And she cut a CD since my dad's passed away. She goes around to other churches and ministers. People love to hear her. So incorporate elders into every aspect of your ministry, because there's room. That's how heaven looks. That's how your church is already looking. And one of my favorite elders is a gentleman in our church named Jerry Smith. He's our greeter. He's everybody's favorite. He's the most handsome older man with the most bright blue eyes you've ever seen and the most beautiful smile, who has walked through absolute hell. He's buried both of his sons. He only had two children, and his wife is now dying of pancreatic cancer. Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say God has not healed her yet. I correct that and say God's will be done. But he shows up every single Sunday with a smile on his face to greet people. A lot of our young people don't have that yet. You know, they can teach us so much about loyalty and faithfulness and discipline. So I'm trying to read my own handwriting. You know the memo? Yes, I had just written again about how the Bible talks about the once a man, twice a child. That goes a long way in what life hands us. And let's just be real. Getting older is brutal. It is brutal. The way that we have, science has enabled us to have people live to be, it's nothing for people to live in their 90s now. Like 100 years ago, the life expectancy was like 47, 50. So that's a double-edged sword, because it's great to live that long, but it depends upon what you call life. And to lay in a nursing home alone, especially people who have contributed so much to the body of Christ, I would encourage you guys to make it a normal part of your ministry to visit those who are shut in. There's a story that is a powerful story, and it's a true story. And there was a lady in a nursing home, and if you were to walk in her room, she had bulletin boards of all these different pictures of different people. And she could not walk, she could not talk, she really couldn't do anything but pray. So she made her life mission prayer. And she liked to say that she sent, and she kept up with it with the help of her daughter, I sent that one to the mission field, and I prayed for that one's grandchild. And there's a lot that older people can do. And I guarantee you, the prayers of the elderly probably have a lot to do with the beginning of this church. I'm sure Gary's mom, and it's awesome to see the elders here. And I just encourage you to listen to them, to love them like they're your own parent. Growing old is brutal. When my dad was passing away, and Gary and I both can speak to this. A few days before my dad died, he called and said, I know these people here think I'm crazy. He said, but last night, it looks like just a sheet to them. They don't see what I'm seeing. When I said, do you see this? The nurse just says, no, sir, I see a sheet. And he said, but I'm telling you, Chris, he said, have I ever lied to you? And I said, no, sir. He said, I saw what looked like disciples, but one person in particular, his name was Joseph, and he was here last night. And I said, Dad, I said, I've been taking care of the elderly for a long time. And when you begin to see people that other people don't see, and you're seeing parts of heaven, that means you have one foot on earth and one foot in the heavenlies. I said, Dad, I really need you to pick that foot back up and put it back on the earth side. Because we haven't seen you. We've not been able to see you. And he said, babe, he said, they didn't say that they were coming to take me, not today anyway, but they were just here to keep me company. I said, okay, we can have that. They can keep you company. But no more talk about that. Let's get you home. Unfortunately, God decided to bring Dad home. But when the doctor, it's a super long story, I should write a book. But the doctor that initially took care of him called me when he had been out sick when he came back. And he himself was crying, and he said, I don't know that I've ever gotten attached to a patient the way I did your dad. And he said, I never spoke to him one time in the 12 days that he was there when he didn't talk about Jesus. And he said, I'm not of the Christian faith. And then I said, yet. He said, but I want you to know your dad was okay because Jesus was with him. And the last words I can remember my dad saying to me, he told me to forgive. He reminded me about forgiveness. And he also said, babe, wherever I am, Jesus is with me. Wherever I am, I'm the Lord's. What a testimony. May we all end the race that well. So when I asked the Holy Spirit on the way here, I was like, God, what do I have? I can't tell them anything they don't know. And Pastor Gary said, just share your passion. The main thing we want to do is ignite your passion among us. Young people, when you look at older people, you're just looking at yourself in just a few short years. Honor them, love them well, hold the door for them, assist them when you can. Certainly don't be frightened of them. People who are taking care of the caregivers of your parents or your aunt or your uncle, there's scripture that says, don't become impatient with them. Look at their hands and the wrinkles in their hands and have compassion. I should have added that scripture reference. I'll look it up. But all I can tell you is this scripture sums it up. And it's in Matthew 25:40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, good grief, I cry at this church. And as much as you have done it unto the least of one of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me. So when you visit the nursing homes, despite how it smells, despite how uncomfortable you are, every time you feed that person who can no longer hold the spoon or the fork for themselves, every time you help them to the bathroom or change that depends, do it as unto the Lord, because he sees you and he will honor you. Chap and I have been blessed beyond measure. I cannot even explain it, except to say we have honored the elderly. We have honored our parents. It is a privilege for me to go to work every day. My kids, they laugh because we've had old people live with us probably all of Keller's life. He's probably so confused. He's like, who is the real grandmother? Who is related and who is not? And we joke about some of the stories. My oldest son, he's this deer hunter, very, you know, he's a man. Well, that dude, I think he got married early. Not that he doesn't love Morgan, but I'm pretty sure he got married early because we have elders that lived with us in our home for years. I mean, that's just what we did. And finally, we got them a place of their own about 5 years ago, because I did want to have some time with just our organic family. But one day, Chandler came to the kitchen table, and Miss Lillian, you want to tell the story? You sure? Okay. Something had happened with her teeth. We're not quite sure what happened. Breakfast was over, and so the elders would eat, and then we'd clean up, and then sometimes the children ate with them, but sometimes not. Chandler just does not have the stomach for nursing or anything like that. And so anyway, Lillian didn't have dentures. I guess they were her teeth. Several of them came out, and she lined them up nicely on the kitchen table. And Chandler came to the table to sit down for his breakfast. This guy's over there going, oh my God. And he looked and he was like, Mom. And he ran and he got sick. Well, like 3 weeks later, he's engaged. So I'm like, yeah. We definitely pushed him out. But I can tell you, all joking aside, we're all going to be there one day. Honor them like they're your parents. Love them because they are truly treasures. Is there, just by the lifting of your hands, are there any caregivers or people who are taking care of parents or who have been in that position where they took care of parents or in-laws? Wow. Wow. Anybody currently a caregiver? You are? Gotcha. Is it your, what part of the family, if you don't mind me asking? Yeah. Yeah. But God will make a way when there seems to be no way. If I can ever do anything to help you, help your church, just common practical tips. I've been there. God always makes a way. He always does. He always does. And if you're taking care of someone, the Bible says don't grow weary in well-doing, because he's got your back. And I'm going to close with just asking you to remember, as you do it unto the least of one of these, what society deems the least, a lot of times they can't see, they can't walk. It's like, I almost wonder with this whole COVID thing, it sure did wipe out a lot of the older generation. You never bring politics to the pulpit. I would never do that. But I know that my dad went for 12 days with no food, no water, no hydration. So be in special prayer for our family as we advocate for that and hope to make some changes where people are more accountable for the care they give to the elderly. And in closing, I would just like to pray over you guys, if that's okay with you, and especially for the caregivers. So if you guys will stand with me, we'll approach the throne. And thanks a ton for letting me speak. I hope it's inspired you. I hope you guys head out to the nursing home today and buy lunch.
Before you pray, I want to say a couple of things, and I would love to have you. I want to pray for a couple of different categories of folks. So the truth of the matter is, it is a human problem that we are inclined to relate to be in relationship with, and to hang out with people who are like us. I'm most comfortable around people who look like me and think like me. That's the most comfortable place to be. That's just how we are. I was thinking, when Michael was leading earlier, one of my favorite people in the whole world. I love him so much, I almost forget sometimes that he sings and does all that. He's just a brother. And I met him when he was in high school. By the way, he had this voice in middle school.
Wow.
Really, really freaky.
And he does the back bend almost.
I came in as a director of an arts program in the Norfolk school system, and he was a student. And very first rehearsal, he asked me to play a part, and I played a part for him. He said, "Thank you. That was mighty black of you." And we established a really significant connection in both of our lives. It's been really powerful and at times uncomfortable. Because he's got a whole life experience that I don't understand. We just come from very different places. And so as a society, when we go through things, we have to work it out. We have to, it's so worth it. It's so worth it. It's not easy, and it's not always comfortable. And that's the truth whenever you are connecting with someone who's in a different place than you. And when we talk about the community of seniors, I'm glad you said, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to, but we are. When you're looking at someone who's different than you, who's in a different place, you can't relate to that. And I think that's the case with all of these categories, whether it's kids or singles or youth, for sure. People are so afraid of teenagers. Mm-hmm. and you have good reason for that.
Right.
So that means to build those relationships, you have to be intentional. You have to step across the line and be willing and desirous of building those bridges of understanding, of creating communication. You have to be willing, I love what you said, you have to be willing to slow down. It is very, very tough to be over even 60 right now. Life moves so quickly. Technology changes every other year. You get to know this phone, and next year it's a brand new phone, and you can't get your email, and you don't know how to text, and it's frustrating. You can't get your computer to work. Now even the car has a computer, and it's GPS, and it's Gmail, and what is the cloud? It's very frustrating. It's very, very frustrating. Your life becomes what you can fit in around doctor's appointments, this thing and that thing, and things are, and it can be very, very isolating. And sometimes it feels like where folks seem like they get grumpier or tougher. Well, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. So what seniors in this church need is a community of folks who are willing to slow down, walk slower, talk slower, linger more. Run errands for them, care for them as though they were your very own parents, because you would do that for them. And for our seniors who are here, here's what I want to tell you. First of all, I am so sorry for the message that has been communicated not so subtly, that there's no room for you. This huge emphasis on getting young people in church. There are churches, and Chris knows that this is true, where if you're over 30, you're not allowed on the platform anymore. Like, you age out, because what we want on the platform, and you know, skinny jeans and graphic tees, because we want to attract the young people. And listen, we have a heart for those generations as well. But I'm just here to tell you, that is not of the Lord.
Amen.
That is not of God. That is some man's strategy for building a particular kind of church. And I don't have any use for it. And I frankly don't care if we never grow beyond this group right here. We will create an atmosphere that's loving and nurturing and has a place for every single one of you. And here's what I want to tell you. The book of Acts quotes the prophet Joel. And it says, in those latter days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And listen to me. Now listen to me. Your young men will see visions, but your old men will dream dreams. And I'm just here to tell you, older generation, God is not through with you. If you're still here, there's an anointing on your life for ministry. And not only is there an anointing in this church, there'll be a platform. We will create space for you to minister and to use your gifts, because they're valuable in the Lord. And so the first thing I want to do, and what I'd love for you to do, Chris, is just to pray for our seniors. And I was joking with someone earlier this week. I stopped in on a freedom group, and they said, well, what exactly is a senior? Where's the line? So I think they're trying to get me in trouble. So I'm not going to give you a line. I think for some folks it can happen at 55, and so for some people it doesn't happen at 75. But it's when you feel life racing ahead of you, and you feel like you're being left behind, and you're looking around. And so whoever is in that category, I just want to pray for you. And Tapestry, I want to ask you to pray for that population in this church, that God will strengthen them, will embolden them. So would you pray for us? And then I want to pray for us. So if would you just pray for our seniors, Chris?
Father, we come to you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
And we hold up to you the most beloved of the population, in my opinion.
Yes, Jesus.
God, there are people who have walked many, many years, and they've undergone many things, Lord, that our generation and generations to come will never, ever, ever be able to relate to. Those of the Great Depression, where newspapers were used for warmth. Days where some of us might even still be here, where there was no electricity. And we jest and laugh about the Sears catalog, Lord, but the real truth is there are people who didn't even have indoor plumbing and have lived a life of hardship, and who have saved what they could and made what they could out of the small amount of food that they had, Lord. And yet here they are in the 21st century among a world of technology, and they do feel left behind. God, I thank you for Tapestry. I pray for a special anointing upon this church for these seniors. God, I lift these seniors up to you, your beloved children, Lord, who are empowered with wisdom, the gray hair not to be ashamed of, Lord, but they are full of wisdom, Lord. And inside that body where the bones might ache, Lord, and the body might not cooperate, but the Spirit of God is within them, Lord. I pray that we will slow down, and Lord, that fire that is burst within them will have a place here at Tapestry, Lord, and that this will be a church unlike any other church that ministers, Lord, and does make a place for these older people. God, just like Pastor Gary said, as long as their heart is beating, their job is not done.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I rebuke the thoughts that may have come to some of these older people, like they're just awaiting heaven. You're not just awaiting heaven. You are here with a God-given purpose. He is calling you to answer His call despite your age and do what you can do for the kingdom of God. He is not done with you. God, I pray that there will be ideas maybe that are birthed where even with the quilt making, some of the older people can teach the youngers and the younger people can teach the olders maybe about their cell phone or the technology of their car. I pray, Lord, that this body of believers will come together as a true family, mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, children, and great-grandchildren and grandchildren. God, protect them as they come closer to heaven. Take away any fear that they might have, Lord. It's a very natural thing. And I pray that when they stand before you, likely sooner than the rest of us, that they will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But Lord, while they're here, use them in a mighty way that they never dreamt possible, in the name of Jesus, our Savior.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. I want to do one other thing here, and then we'll be done. We're almost done. Thank you for your patience. I'm going to ask Brother Ed Paul if he's come forward. Ed, I want to ask you if you'll pray for our church, that we will become a place that is hospitable to folks of every generation, that we can become intentional about ministering to folks in their twilight years. And just recently, maybe it was just yesterday, yesterday morning, I was praying about a particular situation. Sam, do we have the ability to pull up a scripture at random? Or is he gone? Psalm 133. The Lord spoke to me through Psalm 133. I just wanted to share that with you real quick. Well, I can quote it. It's one of the Psalms of the Ascent, and it says this: "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in perfect unity." And it says, it's like the anointing oil flowing down across Aaron's beard and across his robes, this anointing oil. And the Lord spoke to me as I was reading that passage, and here's what he said: anointing flows down. So take the greatest anointing and put it in the highest place. And here's the thing, guys, listen to me. Anointing has no age. Anointing has no age. So I want to ask this brother, who carries a powerful anointing on his own life, if he would pray for us as a church, that we'd be a church that celebrates the anointing of the presence of God and is a hospitable place for folks as they grow older. Would you pray for us? Thank you, brother.
Hallelujah. Father, we come before you right now. And Lord, we just lift up this church, Father, and also Pastor Chapp's church, community church, Heritage. Father, I lift up all the elders here and all the young people here, Father. Lord, that you would touch their hearts, Father, and that your Holy Spirit, Father, would fill them with your love and your anointing, Father. So, Lord, I thank you, Father, for all the things that you have done in their lives, in my life, and everyone that's here, Father, and that you will guide them in the days to come, Father. Lord, and I believe it's Psalm 107, I think, verse 20 says that God sent his word and healed them. Yes. And delivered them. It delivered them from all destruction.
Yes.
And I believe that takes in everything, Father, in our lives. And so, Father, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to be in this church, Father, and be associated with all these wonderful people, your children, Father, and Lord, it's just a special time, Father. So, Lord, all of us that are here, that are somewhat elderly, Father, Just touch their hearts, Lord.
Yes,
and as Pastor Gary said, that there is a place for some of the elderlies, Father. And Lord, let us not let go of that and just sit back and just die off, so to speak.
Right.
But to stand up.
Yes.
You know, one man said, you can't go forward by looking back.
Come on.
You have to get up and start over, if that be the case. So, Father, I pray for those that are hurting, Father, that you would heal them with your anointing, with your special healing power, Father, right now. And, Lord, we just thank you for Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He is the one. He always will be the one. And so, and I pray for Pastor Gary and Pastor Jen. Lord, I lift them up to you, that you would continually give them new anointings, Father, new revelation, Father, in your word. And we just love them, Father. And I say that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ed. I appreciate it. All right, church, I asked you at the beginning, if God spoke, would you be obedient? So now that's your commission. I want you to build relationships with these seniors. Be intentional about it. You don't have to tell them that's what you're doing. You seem old. I want to get to know you. Then you don't have to do that. But we're going to be intentional about creating a space for that. And from now on, I'm going to call the Lord nothing other than Laud. I love it. Thank you, Laud. All right. Hey, can you guys help me thank Pastor Chris for sharing this morning? God bless you. And listen, I believe in draining everything you can get from a guest. So if you are here this morning and you need prayer, or you're caring for someone, or you have seniors in your life that you're concerned about, I know she would be happy to pray with you, pray impartation over you for the gifts and anointings you need to care for those folks. So don't let her slip away without getting some special one-on-one attention. Thanks for being here. Next week, we're going to be talking about teenagers, the upcoming generation. So you want to, if you've got folks in orbit around you who could benefit from hearing that, you bring them. We're going to pray over them next week, okay? God bless you. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes. No, you will not. The only password is Jesus. He'll get you in. Billy Joe Burtz, I couldn't love you if you were made out of pizza. Thank you, everyone.